We come now to look at Psalm 106. The opening seven verses of this psalm are addressed to God, their prayer. The same is true of the final verse, verse 47. The psalmist admits, verse 5, like our ancestors, we have sinned. We are guilty. We have acted wickedly. The bulk of the psalm focuses on the rebellion of the ancestors, but more importantly, on God's faithfulness to the love God promised them. The psalmist trusts that God will continue this fidelity and that he will share in the joy this will assuredly bring to God's people. Apart from the admission of personal sin, we can picture Jesus praying these verses, and we can pray them with him. The psalm begins, "Praise God," or as it's often written, "Alleluia." Give thanks to God who is good. Your covenant love endures forever. Who can number God's mighty deeds or sing enough praise? Blessed and happy are those who do what is right and act with justice at all times. Remember me, O God, when you demonstrate your love for your people. Help me when you rescue them, that I may experience the prosperity enjoyed by your chosen ones, that I may rejoice along with your nation, and that I may greet you as one of your own with shouts of joy. Like our ancestors, we have sinned, we're guilty, we've acted wickedly. In Egypt, our ancestors paid no heed to your wonderful deeds. They forgot the abundance of your covenant love, and at the Red Sea, they rebelled against the Most High. Now, the rest of the psalm is not a prayer. It's a historical survey of the ways in which the people of Israel persisted in breaking their covenant with God in spite of God's constancy to them. It's important to note that archaeology has demonstrated that the survey presents not an accurate, detailed history, but the way Israel came to present its origins to itself and to others. We're dealing with legend, not history. In their book, The Bible Unearthed, Archaeology's New Vision of Ancient Israel, published in 2001, referring to the stories of the patriarchs, the Exodus, the conquest of Canaan, and the sagas of the reigns of David and Solomon, Finkelstein and Silbermann write, "Although these stories may have been based on certain historical kernels, they primarily reflect the ideology and the worldview of the writers." And we know from elsewhere, these writers are in 7th century Judah, centuries after the events that they dramatically present in their legend. Starting from verse 8, it's not a prayer, so we don't pray it with Jesus, but we can reflect on it in Jesus' company. Psalm 106, verse 8 reads, "Yet, true to God's name, God saved them to reveal God's mighty power. God rebuked the Red Sea and it dried up. The deep was as dry ground. God led the people across, rescuing them from the enemy's power. The waters swallowed their adversaries. Not one of them survived. Then our ancestors believed God's word and sang songs of praise. But they soon forgot God's deeds," writes the psalmist. "They lost faith in God's designs. They had a wanton craving in the wilderness, and in the desert put God to the test. God gave them what they wanted, but sent a wasting disease among them. They were jealous of Moses in the camp and of Aaron, God's Holy One. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan, burying alive the followers of Abiram." You can see that account in Numbers chapter 16. "Fire broke out among them, its flame consuming the wicked. They made a calf at Horeb and worshipped a cast image. They exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass." And you can find that in Exodus chapter 12. "They forgot their God, the God who'd saved them, by doing great things in Egypt and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. God determined to destroy them, and would have done so had not Moses, your chosen one, stood in the breach before God to turn back God's wrath." See Exodus chapter 32 for that story. And the psalmist continues, "They scorned the land of promise, having no faith in God's promise. They grumbled in their tents and did not obey the voice of God. So God swore an oath to make them fall in the wilderness and would disperse their descendants among the nations, scattering them over the lands. They attached themselves to the Baal of Peor and ate sacrifices offered to the dead." You can find that in Numbers chapter 25. "They provoked God to anger with the way they were behaving, and a plague broke out among them. Phinehas stood up and interceded, and the plague was checked. This has been to his honor ever since. They angered God at the waters of Meribah, and it went ill with Moses on their account, for they made his spirit bitter, and he spoke rash words." This historical survey is based there on Exodus chapter 17 and Numbers chapter 20. "They failed to destroy the peoples as the Lord had commanded, but intermarried with them and adopted their customs." These two verses, verse 34 and 5, are dependent on the understanding of the Deuteronomic school, which blamed the failures of Israel on the fact that they didn't wipe out the Canaanites, as they thought commanded to do so by God. This failure led them to compromise their faith. Their understanding of God and of God's will is flawed, but in a world that looked upon disasters as God's punishment, they had to find a reason for their suffering, and the reason they found was in their sinful behavior. Verse 36, the survey continues. They worshipped their idols, which became to them a snare. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons, shedding innocent blood. They polluted the land with the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. Thus they prostituted themselves by their deeds. Then the anger of God was kindled against the people. God was disgusted with them and handed them over to the nations. Their enemies oppressed them, and they were ruled by their foes. Again and again, God delivered them, but they were stubborn, and their sins brought them down. But still, God saw their plight and heard their cry of distress. Remembering the covenant, God showed compassion. According to the abundance of God's covenant love, God caused them to be pitied by their captors. And then comes the final verse of the psalm, which is a prayer, and we can pray it with Jesus. Verse 47 reads, "Save us, O God, our God. Gather us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise." This verse, which ends Psalm 106, is followed by one more verse, and I'll read it to you first and then explain it. The verse reads, "Blessed be God, the God of Israel, forever and ever. Let all the people say, Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah." The book of Psalms is divided into five books, obviously echoing the five books of the Torah. And at the end of each book, there's an ending to show you that you've come to the close of that book. And in this case, the verse I just read for you, Psalm 106, verse 48, is the conclusion to book 4 of the Psalms.